Even before games started regularly featuring a photo mode to hide the HUD in all in-game Chrome, there have been games where photography is the main point. Fatal Frame, Pokemon Snap, classic and new, and my new favorite upcoming indie game, Paparazzi. This game looks adorable, and optimistically, it looks like it's going to have plenty of content, compositional capability, and adorableness, and really, what more do you need? This is one of many games being named. It's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you about them and why they're relevant. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back once again tonight with episode number 880 of our show for this August the 15th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am not joined tonight, unfortunately, by Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She's feeling a little bit under the weather, hoping it's not the big C, but she got her brain scraped today to see if it's going to be that. Hopefully it's not that, though, and it's something minor. But we will hear from her in a pre-recorded segment later in the show, but she will not be joining us live throughout the show, unfortunately. But hopefully she's able to rest her voice and feel a lot better for next week. But I am joined, of course, tonight by Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome. What's new? What's up?
not a whole lot.
Where do we start with our talk tonight? I just feel... I've had the most boring weekend, quite honestly. Well, I mean, for the purposes of this podcast, I played video games, like, literally all weekend outside of a Target run that was the highlight of my weekend. But
I thought about playing video games. I keep looking at my stack of NES games I have over here, and I was like, ooh, I should really play those. Actually, that wasn't the thought I had in my mind. The thought I had in my mind is, ooh, I should buy some more that I'm never going to play. You know, that's what I should do, because I was like, there's no Contra over there. I need Contra, but I didn't buy it, because I think the last time I went to go buy games, like, Contra was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to pay a ton of money for Contra.
Yeah, I hear you. So depending on where you go, I find that the retro video game stuff can really vary. Like, you know, some of these stores, while they're fun to go to and look around and shop, they really do charge, you know, a premium for the retro stuff. I don't know if that's just because of the age or because, you know, that stuff is...
Yeah.
There's a lot of people kind of like you, I think, that, well, like, remember it from when they were a kid and they want to get the cartridge to let their kids play. Like, every time I go to a retro store, I see some family in there doing that exact thing.
Well, they were pretty reasonable at, like, the place we have near us called Fair Game.
Yeah.
There's one that's out there in that tiny, the tiny flea market kind of near you. And But their game store sucks because it's dirty and all of the games are unorganized, completely unorganized. It's like, I'm looking for something. I have no idea where I'm going to find it in all of this garbage. And all of the games are like, a lot of them have, like, stickers torn off of them and stuff. It is not in good condition, whereas Fair Game, they may charge a little bit more, but, like, you know what you're getting, and it's alphabetical, and it's easy to find what you're looking for. Plus, they have, like, box copies and, like, homebrew games and stuff like that. Some of that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I wanted to get Contra, but, you know, I haven't played any of that. But I was looking The Guardian Legends staring at me.
Oh, I love that. When you were talking about the unorganized store, it really took me back to my first minimum wage job out of high school. I worked at a video store here locally. You would remember Plaster TV, but I bet a lot of people, you know, don't remember that chain. So I worked at their flagship store in Roseville, which was the huge one that I think it used to be an appliance store at some point. It was huge. And they had I can talk all the shit I want because the chain went under a long time ago. It was a fine job. I certainly had no problem with it or the people. But it always kind of blew my mind that, like, they were completely disorganized. Like, they would just have the A movies are here, the B movies are here. And then they had new releases in one corner. And it was, like, just kind of a mess of just, these are all the stuff that had come out, like, in the last 12 months over here in this area. And people would come in and ask, where's such and such? And it's like, it's over there somewhere. Go find the box and bring it to me. Then I can go back and look at the tape. And we used to kind of go back and there's two out there on the floor somewhere. So, you know, sometimes if it wasn't Friday or Saturday night, we'd go help the customer find the box. But it was just, No wonder they're out of business, Loki. That's my point. Like, it was so unorganized. No wonder they're out of business. I really think, you know, Blockbuster and Hollywood had it down a little smarter, where you didn't go to the back and find the box. Like, the boxes were either out there where the movie was, or it wasn't there. You know what I mean? It was just silly. Going to our chat, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, Voice of Geeks Network. And we are on right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at about 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And by the way, catch Bobby Blackwolf this weekend in Atlanta at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. If you happen to be local and, you know, you're okay with conventions, cause I know it's a weird year and certainly they have safety precautions in place and all that good stuff, but we're pushing the conventions a little lighter this year. This year, it's kind of like, if you happen to be in the area, you know, stop on by. But we get it if you don't. But if you are in the Atlanta area this coming weekend, say hi to Bobby Blackwolf. He'll be at Southern Fried Game Room Expo. So, yeah, we're on Sundays after him, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. Of course, we tape live, and we get comments from our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, where Questbuster says, "Goodwill is sometimes good for a lost treasure or two. I've seen old PC games from the 80s in amazing, as in lovingly used and taken care of, packaging there." You know, I'm hearing that's a good place to find the plastic instruments, like for Rock Band and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're not in usually good condition, but I know, like, we used to take our kids to, like, their gymnastics class, which is right next to a Goodwill, and I used to go over there beforehand or during to go look around. But yeah, they usually did have a lot of Guitar Hero guitars. They had DJ Hero turntables and stuff like that. Not for, like, Xbox. They were always, like, for the Wii and PlayStation 2 and stuff like that. But they had a ton of those. Not in great condition all the time. They never really had retro games, though, because a lot of that stuff gets priced out. You can actually go online, and there's a site for Goodwill auctions. Huh. You can actually search for, you know, stuff through there as well. I got a whole collection of, like, Disney Infinity characters through that one time.
Nice.
But, yeah, it's kind of hard to find stuff nowadays, especially in Goodwill, because people know, you know, what that stuff's worth, and so they charge quite a bit. But sometimes you get lucky, or like garage sales and stuff like that. People just want to get rid of it and they don't care.
It also probably depends where you're at when it comes to the Goodwill. Like, you know, we're in proximity to Silicon Valley, you know, being in Northern California. So I'm sure people here kind of know the value of that stuff, but I bet you in more rural parts of the country, you may have some hidden treasures at those types of stores. Could be interesting. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf points out, especially now that people see Super Mario 64 going for millions of dollars, even though it's a very specific circumstance, but I digress.
Yeah, as Bobby mentioned, his old Friday Night Gaming co-host moved to Sac and Open Legacy Toys and Games. Yeah, I went and checked to see if they had any video games listed on their website. The only one that they have listed is a sealed it's a graded copy of Super Mario Brothers for $300,000, so... that'll be a no for me. I'm not going to be driving down to Elk Grove to go check that out. But
fascinating.
Yeah, people, I don't get the whole, like, collect. I mean, I get collecting games. I don't get paying $300,000 for, like, a mint condition game. Like, that seems like the only way you would want to do that is to hold on to it and resell it for more money. But, like, is it really going to go higher than that? That's a insane risk.
There's that store downtown too. They're super cute, but I don't want to get too hyper local here, because we have a nationwide, international audience really that listens to Orange Lounge Radio. So thank you guys for tuning in and supporting the show. Appreciate that. I do want to go to this comment before we get into our kickoff topic tonight, which is about Nintendo related stuff. I thought I would bring in this comment from Tiger Claw, who in chat said, "I saw Free Guy today. It's pretty good. I know Loki saw it also." So this isn't really a movie about a video game directly, but it's definitely like video game culture. So how was it, Loki? You saw it, Loki?
I liked it. Yeah, it was really good.
You liked it? So it wasn't like Pixels bad? Because I was a little worried.
It was going to be like Adam Sandler's Pixels. No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. It was good. I mean, there's like some dumb stuff, some stuff you have to suspend, you know, disbelief for. But like overall, it's good. I like Ryan Reynolds, so like it was a good movie.
That's good.
They did have like some stuff in it that, you know, definite nods to certain video games and stuff, so they understand some of that. And there's some things that could have probably been done a little bit better, like some of the stuff is a little bit cringy, but overall, I mean, it was funny and entertaining, so I liked it.
All right, I guess I have to see it at some point. I'm just not really in a hurry to go run to the theater and pay the money to see it, but all right, yeah.
Yeah, I took the kids to go see it.
Detective Pikachu was super cute. Oh, was it a kid-friendly movie? I kind of assumed it was
PG-13.
Okay, it looked a little R-rated to me from the trailer. I mean, not that I care,
it's not
but...
It's not like, I mean...
No titties.
No. It's mainly just language. Like, they have the one F-bomb that they dropped. I'm like, there's the PG-13 F-bomb right there.
Yep.
they get one. So,
it can't be about the act. That is also that you can say. Well, we can say here on OLR. We can say fuck, but you can only say it fuck once in a PG-13 movie. But spoilers. You can't say it about the act of fucking.
No. Spoilers. It was him saying good morning to his fish. So like he kept feeling like better. He's like, so good morning, Gold. I think the fish's name was like Goldie or something like that. But he's like, good morning. He's like, have a great fucking day. So it was pretty funny. But yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe you would spoil uses of the word fuck in movies. How dare
you?
Sorry,
I told you. Yeah. So, but otherwise, it wasn't like violent. Like the most violence that there was is when he shot like a guy like in the chest, and there's like kind of just like a cartoon hole there, basically. And that was in the trailer, and that's like literally the most violent that it gets.
Gotcha.
A little bit like, but there is just some funny characters and stuff that they had in it, and there's a lot. Okay, so this is the small gripe that really bothered me. It just details because I noticed it, and so like this like really could have been just something that they could have taken care of. So in the movie, there's lots of like YouTubers and Twitch streamers that have cameos in it, which is fine, but like some of the events that they're talking about in this like fictional world of Free City. So they're doing like these like almost like videos about Free City and what's going on at that time. If you look at the dates on each of the videos that they show, they're like months apart from each other. It's like this is all supposed to be taking place at the same time, but they didn't have the forethought to computer edit like the dates so that they're kind of similar in time. Like, why would you do like this video's from July 2020? This one's from December 2020. It's like clearly this. There's two people talking about the same thing that's going on right now, and they're like months apart. Like, I know it's such a small gripe, but come on, that's basic stuff.
Fifth Dream in chat says real streamers. Ugh, okay, definitely not watching it now.
It's like it's just like they had small cameos, and it wasn't necessarily that they're playing like a part. It was more of just like they're talking about like the game, like. You know, their content creators and stuff like that. So, like, you have Ninja, Jacksepticeye, Dan TDM, Pokimane. But they're very, like, tiny, like, just few-second clips. Like, and it's a few times throughout the movie. There is one, like, person, though, that's supposed to be, like, a big streamer that's hilarious. And I'm not going to spoil it. But, like, that person was a hilarious character in there. And I thought that was really well done. But, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
All right. I'll see it for free when it's on one of the seven, you know, film apps out there, like the Netflix, the Hulu, the Paramount, whatever, HBO Max, one of the 17 apps they have with
Disney
movies
Plus.
On.
It'll be Disney.
Is it a Disney? God damn it.
That's the one I canceled.
All right.
It's a Fox movie. It's funny, though, because there's a point in the movie where it's like, this is when Fox got purchased by Disney. Like, you can tell, like, this is the very moment that they got purchased by Disney, because now they can do all these things, and it was hilarious.
How do you think Mickey Mouse felt about that good fucking morning to the fish? You think Mickey Mouse approves of that? Oh, no. Anyway, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. I want to talk a little bit about Nintendo World, which is like the indie kind of showcase that they did this week. Indie World happened a few days ago. I think it was Wednesday. And they were talking about the latest and greatest Nintendo indie releases. Of course, Nintendo once in a while does these direct for their big AAA games. That's when we, you know, got an update on Metroid Dread and that announcement and all that good stuff. And, you know, some of the other, you know, when we found out we get WarioWare and that stuff, I think that was all E3. But it seems like about once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, they're putting out these indie world that show new games that are showing up on the eShop and other ways to get, you know, Switch games than just pre-ordering them at the local store. There were a lot of games that were talked about, so let's talk about. And if you want to mention, if you want to talk in depth about any of these, Loki, just stop me as I go. I think the first one that's gotten a lot of people's attention is Bomb Rush Cyberfunk, because it is basically Jet Set Radio without being called Jet Set Radio. I get a very Bloodstained Ritual of the, not Symphony of the Night, but Ritual of the Moment or whatever that it is, where it, like, it's not Castlevania, but wink, you know. So Bomb Rush Cyberpunk gives me very that. Apparently, yes. Series composer Hideki Naganuma is actually in this game, who was from Jet Set Radio. So that is pretty awesome. It will be coming out to Switch, and then other platforms, I guess, come a week later. So the game is also coming to, like, you know, PlayStation 5 and all that, but I'm sure people will be looking out for it on the Switch, that's for sure, and have that to go. Yeah, Dr. Tetsuya in chat says he's doing the music, apparently. Keeping an eye on that one for sure. And wasn't the music, like, part of what everybody loved about, you know, Jet Set Radio? I want Chibo Motto to be in the game, even if they broke up years ago. Other games. Toem, a photo adventure. I think that might have been the one that Jason was referencing in the intro there at the top of the show. Yeah, we have that. Loop Hero is going to be coming out to Switch this year as well. A lot of these types of announcements are like, oh, these games are coming to Switch too, which, you know, is the way people like to enjoy games sometimes. Necro Barista, the Final Pour, came out now.
That's a nice name.
Yeah. Yes, you gotta love the punny names. Garden Story just came out, and they had showed that one, I think the last time they did an indie world, and they did the whole It's Out Today thing. Another game that they did an It's Out Today for, It's Out Today event for, was Boyfriend Dungeon came out. And that actually isn't exclusive to Switch, because that came out on Game Pass as well. I checked out the game on Xbox Game Pass for a little bit. I gotta say, I went through that very first basic dungeon, like the mall. I didn't like the way it felt. I don't know. So I gotta play it more. I was kind of interested. The dating sim part was cracking me up, obviously. It's just ridiculous, but, you know, in a good way. You know, this Boyfriend Dungeon game actually is getting a lot of talk too, because, and I noticed this when I started the game, it's, you know, it's pretty inclusive, which is cool. Like, you know, you pick your pronouns, you can make your character like whatever you want, basically. But there's also a very interesting warning that kind of cautions you, like, hey, this game deals with themes of, like, there's, like, stalking and abuse and stuff like that. It's basically a content warning right at the top of the game. So I thought that was interesting. And then what I also thought was, you know, just as somebody who's been through it a few years ago, I thought it was very interesting that the game told me that there is a character called Mom that will send you supportive text messages throughout the game, and do you want to disable this character? And I did kind of think, like, you know, because y'all, some of you were here 4 years ago when my mom passed away, and it was a very tough time. And if I'd played the game 4 years ago, I probably would have been like, you know what? No, but I would have been very thankful for the game asking. Now it's, you know, it's whatever. I can do that. But I just thought that was interesting. It was very considerate, and I don't see that in a lot of games. But you know what's interesting, Loki? You know what's really interesting? Have you been following this? As No. much as they've been considerate, it's not enough. It's not enough for some of the people on Twitter. Some of the people on Twitter are a little upset that even though you have the warning, you still have a character in the game who is really, really creepy stalkery. I haven't played enough of the game to know firsthand what that is. But I look, I'm all for, like, content warnings. I'm all for customizability. But I think when you're tweeting the developer of the game going, you're doing this without my consent, I think you're taking it way too far, like, straight up.
You gave me tons of warnings. And, well, like,
and here's the thing is you're actually actively harming that word consent and what it really means. You had consent when you turned the game on, and you can revoke consent at any time by turning the game off. And, like, I'm not saying that there can't be criticism about a storyline and that we can't be, like, you know, critical of those sorts of things. But at the same time, like, a lot of folks play, like, where's the irritation at games that celebrate murder, you know, like an actual murder and killing people? It's just I feel like this developer tried really hard to do a good thing, and they did do a good thing, and to see them get shit on for doing a good thing is, like, really irritating to me. I don't know why, but I just, yeah, I think it's the part of some of that online culture that a lot of people really can't stand.
Yeah.
Questbuster in chat says, I don't know if this made the news roll, but there was a small article on a few sites that the dev was going to update their content warning over this next week. Thank you for clarifying that. That's right. They did say they were going to update the content warning. And I'm talking about replies to that that are still saying it's not enough. I'm very much like, this game just probably isn't for you. Like, you know, there's maybe other video games that will not have this same thing. I don't know. You know, it's a tricky thing. I've dealt with stalking and I've dealt with all that stuff. And again, I haven't played into this game where that kind of thing might bother me or whatever. But, like, I've certainly played video games before where I was playing them, something really, really violent or gory happened, and I was just like, not for me, click off. And that's what I did. And I didn't tweet the developer going, how dare you, or anything like that. I just said, you know what? There's all sorts of games out there, and this one wasn't for me.
Why didn't you tweet the developer? I mean, they need to know that you were unhappy. They are desperate to find out.
Because, honestly, like, what good does it do at the end of the day, you know? It's just, yeah.
Well, I'll have you know, nobody with IBS has reached out to me about Pixel Poops number 2, so I'm glad I haven't offended anybody yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
See, you have to be like, actually, people have to actually know about your game in order to, you know, offend somebody with it. So it's fine.
But it is sad to think that if you had put more offensive content in there, it probably would have sold more. Just an interesting.
There's always time. I can add more.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, Fifth Dream in chat brings up the mom thing and says, I think about that every time Animal Crossing sends mail from mom. Yeah, I mean, it's nice that the game, like, tells you, like, what's going to happen and what's going on. So there's that. All right. I went on a bit of a tangent there, but it was something I saw on Twitter this week that just really, really, like, it just irked me. I was just like, this is just, it's too much. It's too far. All right. Moving on, Axiom Verge 2 just came out on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. I really liked the first game, but I'm a little hesitant on the second game. I'm hearing it's not getting the same warm reception. That apparently a lot of the battle has gone very melee in the game, which is a little weird for a Metroidvania. But yeah, I haven't played it myself, but I just, some of the early things I've been hearing from my friends that also like the original Axiom Verge, not really as warm on the game. But what do you guys in chat think? Have any of you in chat been playing Axiom Verge 2? I'd be very curious. So, all right. Brilliant comment from SSJ100 Matt. I mean, I hate to be harsh, but we can only please everyone. I think we can't please everyone. But at some point, the onus is on the person to realize that not everything is about them. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Other stuff that they announced at the Nintendo Indie World. Metal Slug Tactics is coming in 2022. I thought they had already confirmed that for Switch at some point. But
yeah,
it's
that
nice
was
to have the time frame.
Namco or... Wait, not Amico, SNK thing that they did where they talked about Metal
Slug.
Oh,
yeah. I remember that.
Was that during that? It was during something. I know we've had a trailer for it already.
Yeah. Tetris Effect is coming out on October 8th for the Switch. That's a little bit of a surprise because, you know, that game kind of started as like a VR, you know, really crisp 4K on Epic Store kind of game. And now it's...
it's a crisp 720p.
But it is... It is Tetris at the end of the day, but it'll be nice to take that on the go. I think some people are going to be very happy they can take that experience on the go. I still think it's better in an immersive environment, but you know, if you're kind of chilling on the train or whatever and you have your big old headphones on and you have that really awesome music in the game and so forth, you can probably find your zone in that game.
You know what would be even cooler is if they had a mode to play it where, you know, it's in like a portrait or landscape instead of like portrait.
Oh, like tilt it. So
portrait instead of landscape. I'm sorry. Vertical. I'm getting confused. Yeah.
No, I
basically
get it.
So it takes up more screen real estate.
Yeah, that would be awesome, actually. That would be a neat feature. You know, there's already like a retro skin in it, and you see it in some of the competitive modes, and I think you can unlock it, but it is basically Tetris, the NES cartridge skin. I think they call it 1989 or something is the skin name. And it's pretty awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Loki. Now there's something to tweet the developers, you know, I don't say like F you, you effing F, but I would tweet the developers and say, hey, it would be cool if you did this. I mean, they may listen, they may not. We'll see. Astroneer is another game coming out on Switch in early 2022. Slime Rancher Plortable. What is that? Plortable, because they're slimes. Get it? So Slime Rancher came out now on Switch for you Slime Ranching fans. Curious Expedition 2 also was released. Gang Beasts is coming out in September. And Eastward is launching on September 16th. So a lot of
Eastward
updates.
Looks good.
Yeah. A lot of updates on some games there over Nintendo's camp. And, you know, this is in addition to all the AAA stuff like the WarioWare and the Metroid Dread. So I think it's going to be a pretty good holiday for Switch. I imagine they're still going to sell those things like crazy, even if, you know, a Switch Pro didn't end up happening right now. So. All right. Well, let's talk about our gaming weeks and see if we played any of those games. I did mention I played Boyfriend Dungeon a little bit, but not a lot of it. If we played some of those games or something else this week, let's get into it. How was your gaming week, Loki?
It's still Minecraft. That's what I've been playing. And I think I put out a video this week. I can't remember. I did that. And this week has been mainly just designing stuff offline. I also figured out some of the nuances with the server I play on and how to get it to spawn a lot of mobs, just positioning accounts in a certain way. So that was a fun experiment to do. And so it's been just that this week. I haven't really been playing too much Minecraft, actually. Just cutting back a little bit because I was so much into it last week. But yeah, a lot of it designing stuff offline. So I've been working on Super Smelter for my Tango build that I did to put inside of it. So that'll be coming soon. Just finalized kind of a design for that today. And then I do want to get to other things, you know, at some point. Speaking of which, we kind of referenced Pixel Poops number 2. I have not forgotten that I at one point promised to do a physical version of that, and it's still in the back of my head. I have to finish 2 more levels for that to polish off the 10 additional levels I was going to do, and I have to see if there's other things I want to add to it. I may not do that. I may just do the levels and call it a day. But yeah, I do want to do that at some point soon. The problem is I don't know how I'm going to sell those yet, or like how to even do that. So like, aside from like, hey, DM me on Discord or something like that, that's not a really reliable way of doing things, but that may be what it is considering the small quantities. So we'll see.
Or just do a Kickstarter that is like, the goal is only like 2 copies of the game being sold, and then, you know, fill your orders that way, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's tough too, because like, I don't know.
You'll sell at least 2 copies. You'll sell at least 2 copies. Bobby Blackwolf said he'd buy one in Pod Culture City.
No,
buy one. You're
sell
not
worried
2.
About. Yeah, I'm not worried about selling copies. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, it's just like, I want to make sure that I can fulfill stuff like, you know, in a normal process. I still want, it would be nice to have like a manual or like a box or something like that. And I don't even know how to source all that stuff. And that just adds to the cost. I have, like I said, enough to make like 12 copies right now. All the carts and everything, but I just have to finalize the ROM for that. And like, I've already added like stuff. Like, I have the 2 other playable characters in there, and I have to remember if I actually adjusted, because they were supposed to play a little bit differently. So I've got 2, like, you know, I guess female presenting characters, and then 10 more levels. So that's something. And What else did I do? I think I also changed the way that the continues work, so it doesn't put you at the end of... It doesn't restart you to the beginning of each world. It's just to the level that you died in, which is a little bit more fair. So there's some like small tweaks for that. But yeah, I mean, they have like better like tutorials and stuff out there for how to do animated tiles and stuff like that. I'm like, I kind of want to do that, but I probably
no, draw the I'll line. Probably, draw the line, Logie.
I'll probably just do two more levels and call it a day. It still annoys me that the random turn direction code in there doesn't quite work right all the time. But I don't think I'll ever be able to fix that because I don't know how it's colliding because there's no easy way to debug that stuff. But yeah, two more levels and then probably call it a day. I'm also thinking about once I do physically release that stuff that I may end up dropping the price of the digital game and stuff. We'll see. I don't know.
Bobby in chat says or links to Etsy as a possible source to help with some of your issues.
Yeah, I guess I could do that. Why are people selling like The Legend of Zelda? That's not homebrew. I'm pretty sure that Mario. This is not Super Mario Brothers 3. This is Mario Brothers 2. That clearly is Super Mario Brothers 2, and they list it as Super Mario Brothers 3. Jesus, people, can you not read?
So this is why Loki's not using Etsy. All right. Anyway.
but yeah, sure. Well, we can do something like that. We'll figure something out. Maybe Etsy's an idea. I don't know.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
That's it.
My gaming week. A lot of the stuff I usually talk about. Still more Dead by Daylight. Still more Final Fantasy 14. My lowest level on any class now is 58. So by this time next week, I should have everything at least 60. So I've got three more classes to level up. Monk, Black Mage, and Warrior. And then once I get them to 80, everything is max level because I am crazy when it comes to Final Fantasy 14. But I love that game. Was playing most of that same stuff. And then Friday, I guess late Thursday night, if you will, Hades came out on Xbox Series X under Xbox Game Pass, and it also released on PlayStation 5. It released on like Windows Store. Now Hades has already been out on Steam and Switch, and y'all know it won like a lot of Game of the Year recognitions in the last year, and there's a reason for that. The game is good, so I decided to start a new game on Series X just to see how it played, and you know, the nice smooth 60 frames a second and you know all that stuff. And I gotta say, it looks really good. It plays great. In fact, it plays so nicely. I spent all fucking day Saturday playing Hades. All day Saturday playing Hades. I even did a stream at some point on Saturday where I was just doing more Hades on stream. And then I was playing before and after that. The game is fantastic. I don't know what to say. A lot of people feel a certain kind of way when they hear it's a roguelike. But like, it does the genre so well. It's probably the best representation of like a roguelike type of game in that whole genre, that I've really seen. And you know, even if you hate roguelikes, I'd still encourage you to give Hades a try, especially because it's on Game Pass. You know, I always say I'm not a big fan of sports games, but you know what? I love NBA Jam. I like Blades of Steel. I even tried one of the newer hockey games that came out because it was on Game Pass. So yeah, I play those games. I don't like shooters, but I still will. I still get sucked into a Halo game now and then. I enjoyed the Doom revival. So, you know, there's exceptions to every rule, right? And I think Hades is really worth a look, no matter how you feel about those roguelike type of games. It's just the customizability and the way the builds work. You really get a different type of playthrough every time you go through the game. And that's what makes it really interesting to me. So, I'm loving it. So I got all the way to Hades, but I have yet, which is further than I got the last time I played through the game. But I was not able to beat him yet. Although I had a really good shotgun build, or I think it's railgun. I had a really good railgun build, and I'm really upset. I was firing three rockets. I thought it was good. He just does too much damage. I need a build with more damage mitigation or something like that. So I'll get there. I'll get there. You just make little improvements to the character every time. That's what a roguelike's all about. So I'll get there. But yeah, Hades, check it out. Otherwise, I did play that little bit of Boyfriend Dungeon I talked about earlier, but not really enough to really talk much more about it. Hades kind of knocked that out of the way on getting my attention. It came up on Bobby's show at the end. He asked me how Yakuza is going. That is still on hold a little bit, but I will pick it back up, I promise. But now I'm obsessed with beating Hades first. SG100 Matt says, I've been waiting for Hades to come to Xbox. Now that it's here, I have not a lot of time to play. Cry. Well, I mean, it shouldn't go away that fast. I mean, what's the fastest a game disappeared from Game Pass? Grand Theft Auto 5, right? But it was up at least 4 months or so, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there's that. Some folks in chat are talking about the Diablo 2 beta. Questbuster says, have been trying out the Diablo 2 Resurrected beta thanks to a free code. Definitely on the pretty side. I meant to do the Twitch thing to get a code, and I wanted to try it for myself, but I played Hades all fucking day on Saturday. I just didn't get around to Diablo 2. I'll see how the reception is when the actual game comes out and take it from there. So obviously some of the recent stuff that's been going on with Blizzard. I mean, I'm not even talking about the I guess I am a little bit. That does I can't lie. That stuff does factor into it a little bit. But I'm just not like gung ho on like I got to do the pay full price for this game several months in advance thing. I'm just not at a point where I want to do that. Like, if the game is good, I will buy it when it's out. I'm not in a rush to play it day one. Because if it's good, it'll last a lot longer than one day, that's for sure. So, all right. That's it for our gaming weeks. So, we will get into some more news. I will mention real quick, we will be not having a show Labor Day weekend. I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta. Yes, they're still doing a Dragon Con this year. Yes, there's a lot of precautions in place, like mandatory masks and all that stuff. They're not going to have as many people either. This is the first year they're limiting the number of tickets and the people that can go. So it's going to be an interesting year, but I'm excited to be... right now, my tentative schedule has 7 panels on it, 3 of them on the gaming track and 4 of them on digital media. That could change. It's very likely to change. So I will kind of give an update when the schedule is locked in. The schedule will be locked in a week or two out from Dragon Con, and I'll let you know all the panels I'm doing. There is one panel right now, tentatively, that I'm doing with someone that does something for a game company that is large and you would know them. So I'm and that's the one I'm really hyped about. So we'll see what plays out with that. So I will give you more details in a couple weeks, I promise. I have to wait for it to get locked in, because the moment I open my fat mouth and say I'm doing this, and this is when, oh, we had some changes, we had a schedule change, and now there was a conflict, so we put somebody else on it. You know that's how it goes every time. So I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. All right. Let's move on. We have some other news. Loki.
Yes. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, we have news that there's been some Take-Two shenanigans when it comes to Grand Theft Auto mods. Yet again, they have gone through trying to DMCA copyright claim lots of different mods that are out there, including Vice City Remastered. They had Liberty City Project, Open Manhunt, Bulworth. Yeah, so lots of different projects that are on ModDB that are getting taken down. Basically, most of these mods had to do with taking older games, like Vice City, for example, and porting it to the Grand Theft Auto 5 engine, or porting it to newer engines. And basically, at this point, you know, they just want to state that they have literally nothing else they can do other than comply with this. You know, they basically say it's worth noting that, you know, the EULAs for these games kind of forbid modifications, which is stupid if you ask me. but they're trying to challenge it, but we'll see what actually happens with that. Also, like, the Grand Theft Auto 5 cheat menu was taken down as well, which is kind of annoying, because those are fun. But you may be wondering, why are they doing this? Well, it's because Rockstar Games, in their infinite wisdom, is going to do the unthinkable. No, they're just going to re-release Grand Theft Auto again. So they're apparently going to be putting out a trilogy of the PlayStation 2 games onto the Switch, including Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. I am so sick of those games coming back out again. Like, I don't think they need to be remastered. They can't really be remastered anymore. Those games look so basic. Like, you already did the upscale, you know, thing to this back in, you know, the Xbox 360 era and stuff like that. Like, do we really need to do this again? This is just stupid at this point. But whatever, it's going to be coming.
I'm surprised you're not interested, but I guess that's because...
I'm not interested because they haven't put out a new game in, like, years now. Like, when's the last time Grand Theft Auto 5 came out? Well, that was, like, 6 years ago. Probably even more than that, probably, at this point. But, like, it's been a long time. Put out a new game. Seriously.
Our chat is lighting up on this. Mike Deft points out, the thing is, they keep selling. Yeah, that's true.
The thing is, yeah, the online, they keep putting stuff out for it. But, like, I just don't think... You know, this is worth... I'm not going to buy it on the Switch, that's for sure. I have it already on PC. I don't need it. I've played those games to death. Like, I don't need to do that.
Fifth Dream says, we don't need remasters every gen, especially when they did it before 3 years ago. SSJ 100 Matt brings up an interesting legal issue that the games had. I'm really excited for the trilogy, though I wonder what the soundtracks will be like.
Yeah. Yeah, those soundtracks, they keep getting songs removed from it because they have to relicense it. Like, I'd be more interested with them bringing out either brand new game, first off, or having them, like, say, update the game, like, kind of do what the modders did, you know? Hey, let's bring these games into a modern engine or something like that. The problem is you can't really do that because those games were so limited by memory capacity and stuff that they're very, like, empty. Maybe not so much San Andreas, but, like... 3, I mean, if you go back and play 3, it's an empty map. Like, it's pretty empty.
Here's how you fix the soundtrack issue, because the games are being re-released, according to this rumor, for the Nintendo Switch. So what you do is you have Nintendo music replace the licensed music that was there before, so that you can actually have, like, the do-do-do-do-do-do as you're mass murdering people on the street. And that would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they'll never do that.
And then Waluigi can actually be a skin that you can download and replace the protagonist in any of the games with. Wouldn't that be great? Grand Theft Waluigi. I mean, talk about this series.
They will never do that. Like, they will never do that because, God forbid,
God forbid Waluigi's seen with a gun.
Never going to happen. I'm not interested in these coming back. Like, they've been released so many times already. Like, I don't need to have them come to the Switch. Like, no one is, like, demanding that stuff. And the last port that they did of these wasn't very good anyway. So why would I bother with it? Like, honestly, the modders have probably done a better job porting that stuff over than these guys have. And there's, like, a lot more exciting stuff that they've done, like multiplayer and stuff like that. So I'd rather see that. But we'll never see that because Rockstar makes $1 billion off of their stupid Grand Theft Auto Online, which is fine. That's entertaining for people. But, like, kind of want a new game. I don't want to play Grand Theft Auto Online because it's a grindy shit fest. And the people that play it, or a lot of the people that play it, are complete assholes. So I don't want to play with them. I would rather just, play a new game.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, sure, how about Mario, Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi covered overalls or something for the characters? That's just plumber clothes or something that they could release. There, I'm with you.
Yeah, but that would be effort beyond just porting the game over to a new engine. Like, sure, whatever. It's never going
to
happen.
Okay, SJ100 Matt has the very practical answer here that Loki, surely you have to be considering, is that, why not both? Why not come out with this while they make the new one? Not like these games are taking away assets from the team making the new game.
They're not even. It's not even Rockstar. It's probably even porting this stuff over. They're going to outsource it to a third party company to do this. They're not going. It's literally no work for them. But
so maybe there will be a Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah,
someday,
eventually,
one day.
Someday, but like, do I really want to play that? Like, look at how they've supported Red Dead 2. I mean, it's pretty awesome, but they haven't supported Red Dead Online at all because they're not making as much money off of it. Like, I would even be fine with them. Like, you know what I'd really like to see a port of? Like, you want to do an HD remaster or something. HD remaster the Grand Theft Auto 4 games. That's what you need to do. That would get me interested in actually playing that stuff because those games were fun. And that hasn't been remastered yet. So there you go. Do that. Not the first, not 3-4 and or not 3 in Vice City and
3-3 and 3.
3-3 and 3. Yeah. Well, hey, that's three different games. You know what? You know, we've had Grand Theft Auto 5 on three different generations of consoles at this point. So it's like, whatever. Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to become the meme that Skyrim is at some point soon,
if not already. All right. Not until we have an Alexa version, that's for sure. Oops. Sorry. I said the name of the device. Sorry if I set it off.
But you know what, though? You know what? As much crap as we give Todd Howard and Skyrim and shoving that down our throats every few years, at least that game I can use mods in. So, you know.
Touché. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about another online game, one that I play way too much of. Dead by Daylight. And Dead by Daylight, you know, for his fucking buggy as fuck as that game is sometimes, somehow it is still insanely popular. You know, there's like two maps right now they just had to disable because somehow they broke, and it's because of the way that this game is just spaghetti coded, and it's been that way for like the past 5 years. But yet the game is so damn much fun, like, and it's a lot of fun to watch. I love watching people play it on Twitch. It's just so exciting and all that stuff. But anyway, obviously y'all know I'm a fan of Dead by Daylight. So is Dark Sakura as well. And, you know, just a few months ago, we had the release of the Resident Evil chapter, which gave Jill, Leon, and then, of course, you could actually change Jill into Claire. You could change Leon into Chris and Nemesis. There's like five different characters that got added to Dead by Daylight with that. And it's a lot of fun. But now we're already looking at what is the next DLC to come out. What's kind of interesting is that usually you don't get a bunch of licensed stuff back to back. You get original characters, and Dead by Daylight has some, you know, pretty interesting original killers as well. Like, the Blight was a recent killer. The Trickster was, you know, in a recent patch and, is a very good character, even if, he's got a lot of balance problems in the game right now, but that's the buggy part. But it looks like, if rumors are to be believed, and honestly, I'm talking rumors to the point of even Dead by Daylight is posting their own teasers and people are putting it together, it looks like we are getting another license as the next DLC, and it's going to be Hellraiser is going to be the next DLC for Dead by Daylight. And I think that is pretty interesting, because what's also interesting about this is that it may not actually be a full DLC. It may be what they call a paragraph, which means it is just a killer or a survivor. And in the case of Hellraiser, obviously, it's going to be Pinhead.
It's
going to
be a survivor. It's
obviously, it's Pinhead. It's just the question is, what form of Pinhead is it going to be? Because there's I think they actually have another name, Cenobites or whatever. There is a lady Cenobite. So maybe there could be DLC. I don't know. But assumably the iconic, Pinhead from the 1987, I would love to see Gottmik as Pinhead, cause y'all know I love my Drag Race, but I doubt that will be DLC, but the iconic 1987 Pinhead is almost certainly going to be in the game. We will find out on Tuesday. Public Test Realm goes live on Tuesday, and we're going to see, do we get a survivor with it? Because I, you know, quick, name a character from the Hellraiser franchise, and some of the horror movie buffs probably can jump right in and say something, but you know, there's not as many iconic survivors. But if you look at Dead by Daylight's history, Ghostface didn't come with a survivor. And that, if anything deserved to come with a survivor, that should have. You absolutely should have had Casey, Drew Barrymore, or, you know, Neve Campbell, or Gale Weathers, or fucking all of them, honestly. Like,
there's so many people, yeah.
Not putting one of those strong women as a survivor was, quite frankly, homophobic on the part of Behavior Entertainment. And I'm going to be tweeting them how they are homophobic by not including the entire cast to Scream in their DLC.
I saw like people thinking that there was going to be a character from Five Nights at Freddy's as one of the killers as well.
Well, apparently a lot of the same type of like teaser stuff kind of works for Five Nights at Freddy's, but they went so far as to, well, this most latest one, it says 1987 in the corner when Behavior uploaded it to a Chinese YouTube website, whatever their version of YouTube is. They forgot that the file names are visible on there, and it actually was called Hellraiser Teaser, and this was by the official... And it was, and horror fans knew, because there's this TV static and you see an image in it, and they 100% knew it was Hellraiser from that. So SSG100 Matt says, curious what the level would be. There may not be one. If it is a paragraph and it's just the killer, again, Ghostface was that way. Bubba or Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was also that way. There was no map because it was only the killer and no survivor. They have also done the other way around where there's a survivor and no killer, and they didn't get maps either. Bill from Left 4 Dead is a good example of that. Ash from Evil Dead is another good example of that. Ash from Evil Dead is the one piece of DLC I do not own for Dead by Daylight because he's not a good character in the game. Sorry. No slander to the Evil Dead fans, but his perks suck. He's too loud, so it's one I've really been putting off, that's for sure. Questbuster in chat says, I hope Pinhead will get to say, I have such sights to show you in the game. They don't usually talk, but maybe. So I don't know. Locopoco corrects me and says, Leatherface had a variation of a map. He came with the Grim Pantry map. Okay, my bad. I didn't think he came with a map. So I guess there is that. And then Locopoco does also point out licensing back to back has happened before because there was Ghostface and Stranger Things. All right, fair enough. But you still get what I'm saying is that don't put your expectations that every pack for Dead by Daylight is going to be licensed, you know, characters. I really thought that we were going to get Candyman because that was where some of the early rumors were at. With the new movie coming out, it makes perfect sense. So I'm kind of surprised it's not that, but maybe. I mean, maybe that'll be the next one. That would be really something if we got three licenses in a row. But yeah, that would be something else. Anyway, we don't know what the talents are going to be or anything like that. Again, we'll find out on Tuesday. Some people in chat are saying they creep teleport, so maybe there would be a teleportation type of thing. The only character I could think of that functions similarly is Nurse, kind of does this teleport thing. So it could be interesting if that's the mechanic that they – I mean, obviously you don't want to just see a carbon copy of another killer. You know, Nemesis kind of – you know, they added some neat things for Nemesis, I got to say. Even though the virus type of thing is sort of in the game with the plague, although it functions a lot differently, that whole fact that Nemesis has the AI zombies – that was like a completely new thing. So it'll be interesting if maybe they'll bring something new to the table for Pinhead as well. I don't know. So anyway, by the time some of you hear this podcast, if you listen midweek, that information may already be out there. So that'll be exciting to see. Loki, do you keep changing camera angles? What the hell are you doing over there?
No, my camera, so my camera software keeps defaulting to my camera that's in my actual laptop for God knows what reason. I don't know why. But I noticed it like switching it, and I keep switching it back, and it's like, no, I want to do the other camera. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. So
sorry, podcast folks.
I'm gonna shut the camera off for a second. Rebooting.
Every time I look up there, Loki's doing this. Camera one, camera two, camera two. And I'm like, stop it. Why are you switching your camera?
I'm not. The software's in. Like, okay, why are you doing this? Like, stop doing that.
I get it. I get it now. Yeah, I'm having similar problems. Some of you that watch the show live probably notice I'm always having to reset my camera at the top of the show. That's because for some reason Discord, because I do that call with Bobby on his show right before we do this, Discord for whatever reason forces me to use low resolution and I can't change it. And so when we start, if I don't remember to change it between the two shows, it doesn't start high res for this one, which is so weird. Anyway. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, if they ever decide to end the game Dead by Daylight, which I'm not advocating, the last DLC should be a space level because every horror series eventually ends in space. Well, in my opinion, absolutely the last quote-unquote DLC.
Are we seeing Jason X DLC?
Thank you for taking my joke before I'm finished.
Sorry.
Yes, I think Jason should be the last DLC they ever do because it would be one of those we finished where we started kind of things. Because you might remember Dead by Daylight came out like only a couple months after that Friday the 13th game came out. And then Friday the 13th had all those issues with the licenses and everything. So it unfortunately kind of stalled out, even though that was a great game when it first came out. But they hit so many issues with licensing and things, it didn't really go anywhere. So if Jason came to Dead by Daylight, that would really be full circle. And absolutely, it should be Jason in space.
Is Freddy Krueger in the game?
Yes. New Freddy is in the game.
New Freddy? Who cares?
Yeah, it's still Freddy. But the survivor character is Quentin, who's a character from the reboot, not in the original. So that is a little weird. But they were trying to push the newer movie, which... for whatever reason, was 5 years old at that time. I mean, it was easier to get the rights. That's probably what it was. It was easier to get the rights to Jackie Earle Haley's face than it was Robert Englund, probably. That's my guess, anyway. A lot of people in chat wanting Alien, Xenomorph, Predator. Somebody was asking me about this the other day. It was like, could we get an alien character, you know, something that's not like a human in Dead by Daylight? And my answer was, well, we got Demogorgon. So, yes, anything's possible. Anything's possible if you dream. No One Special says, what about Warwick Davis Leprechaun character? Dude, that would be awesome. The character I most want to see more than anything, as much as I joke about Drag Race and all that stuff, no, the character I most want to see more than anything is Tim Curry's Pennywise. That's the character I want to Dead by Daylight
would be cool.
More than anything. And the sad thing is there already is a clown character, but he's more
of... Who cares?
Dead by Daylight kind of had this problem in the beginning anyway. It borrows a lot from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then they put in Billy, the hillbilly, who is a chainsaw character, who is very much an homage to that. And then they get the license for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so they have to create a second chainsaw killer. So the clown...
Just gotten rid of the other one? I mean, like, I don't know.
The clown that's in the game now is very much the drunken clown stereotype type of thing. Like, you know, so I think if they did like a Tim Curry Pennywise clown, they could make it very different. It wouldn't have to be the same thing. So, yeah, that is my dream killer for Dead by Daylight, in case this comes up on a quiz in the future, is that Tim Curry is Pennywise. Although with my luck, I will get the reboot Pennywise. Part of me says I would still take it. But no, I wouldn't. I reject it. I would take new Pennywise as long as there's a way to get the skin for the old Pennywise. If that makes sense. That's what, yes, I want. All right. Enough Dead by Daylight. You hear enough of that on Dark Soccer's stream and sometimes my personal stream when I stream. We play a lot of Dead by Daylight. But that's because despite the buggy fucking mess that it is, it really is. I loved when Jamie put it a couple weeks ago on the show, the Marvel Avengers universe of like horror. And that really is what it is. So,
well, wasn't that supposed to be the MonsterVerse, and they never did anything with that aside from the Mummy movie, which sucked?
Yeah, I think they're still trying to make that happen, actually.
They are. Well, I'm sorry. No, it's not just the Mummy movie, because it's the Mummy movie and the Invisible Man. But I don't think that movie is good either. Maybe that movie was better than The Mummy. I mean, it's got to be better than The Mummy, but it ain't going to happen. Sorry.
Anything's possible. I never thought we'd see half these characters we're seeing in Dead by Daylight, so there is that. All right, let's move on. Next story, Loki.
Yeah, so PAX Australia has been canceled. And they're replacing it with an online show. Gee, I wonder why. Could it be this COVID-19 everywhere? So, yeah, I mean, it's not a huge surprise that obviously a lot of these events are going online only for, this year, because things aren't necessarily getting better everywhere. And still a lot of people unvaccinated and different Delta outbreaks. So it only makes sense. So online only show will be the case for right now. And
yeah, and you might, because it's important to point out PAX Prime, which actually hasn't been called that for like 6 years. I think it's now PAX West. PAX West is still happening Labor Day weekend. So you might be looking at this going, why is PAX Australia getting canceled when PAX West is still happening? And the simple answer is the COVID situation in Australia is extremely different. Because they kind of dodged it the first time it was going around. Like, this Delta variant's really hitting them now, so that's the kind of the difference. Unfortunately, you know, obviously we don't like to talk about COVID hitting areas, but yeah, it's kind of and I think a lot fewer people vaccinated in Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to too. So it's a little different here where. In the States, anyone can get vaccinated at this point if they want it. So it's just, you know.
Stubborn anti-vaxxers.
You know. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about The ID at Xbox event, because we talked about the Nintendo Indie event. So let's talk a little bit about the Microsoft equivalent. So they had ID at Xbox. So we also got some updates on some Xbox games and some this I thought of you, Loki, with this first game on my list here, Lightyear Frontier. Have you seen this? Because it's like it's a farming game with mechs.
I mean, every farming game needs mechs, so I'm down.
Loki, somebody literally thought the same thing and made this game. So you really should check this out. It's four-player co-op, but of course you can play it solo as well, and it's going to come out on Xbox and PC in 2022. Apparently, there is a mystery-driven narrative that will keep you coming back for more mechs.
The mystery is, why do we have mechs in this farming game?
What Loki, why not have mechs in this farming game?
That's what I want to see. Like, you know how we have like Battlefield, you know, 1 and Battlefield 2042. I want to see Farming Simulator 2042 with mechs in
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah,
know,
there you go.
Why not?
If you want your farming sims more traditional because you're boring. No, just kidding. Stardew Valley is certainly not boring. A lot of people love that game. And it's coming out on Xbox Game Pass this fall. So if you've been putting off Stardew Valley, I suppose, you can check that out. So another win for Xbox Game Pass there. That's pretty cool. The Artful Escape is another game coming out. It is a teenage guitar prodigy who becomes a folk music legend. And there's some various voice talents in this game, which is kind of interesting. It will be on Game Pass 9-9, September 9th. So that's kind of fun. Sam and Max Save the World Remastered, out now. If you want to check that out, that was announced. Ollie Ollie World will run at 120 frames a second and 4K in its cartoony style. As a skateboarding action platformer game, which is it's actually the third game in the Ollie Ollie series. So that is out winter this year. Aeon Drive was also talked about, which is, I guess, an action game, but it has a speedrun type of twist. So it sounds like fans of speedrunners will like that. All right. No, this was the game that Jason talked about in the intro, because this is too fucking good. Paparazzi.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a game where you take pictures of dogs. Period. End of sentence. What the fuck else do I need to tell you? It's Pokemon Snap, but it's dogs. And it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, so many of you are not going to have to pay an extra fee to play it. So that's it.
It is awesome.
Not only do you take pictures of them, you play fetch with them, you pet them, and you just hang out with dogs.
And I love how they have no walking animations, any of them. They're just like stiff, like... that's the best part.
Yeah, the graphics are a little bit of a throwback.
I love that.
Fifth Dream in chat says cat version insta buy. Look, and I am a cat person. You all know that. I would be hard pressed to resist a good puppy game or a good dog, you know, taking picture game. You know, I loved Nintendogs even before they put cats in it. So I will absolutely, especially the fact it's on Game Pass. That's all I need. It's not going to cost me anything. So. Yeah,
and the best part, see, like the art style reminds me a bit of Katamari as well, like kind of that simple cell shaded. So
yeah, or the original Pokemon Snap, but yeah. Anyway, SG100 Matt wants to point out it's on Steam as well if you want to check it out there, but of course Xbox Game Pass as well. So think about that. Aragami 2 is coming out on Game Pass on September 17th. It's of course a sequel to Aragami. It's a third person stealth game. I'm not big on stealth, but if you are, I bet this game will be up your alley. You're an assassin and all that good stuff. It's that type of game. Evil Genius 2, World Domination. Guess what you do in that game? You play a villain, and you are taking over the world. So have fun with that, Loki. It sounds like your kind of game. Library of Ruina came out on the day of the press event. So that is also on Game Pass if you want to check that out. Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous, March 1st, 2022. That's a little ways out, but I think some people very into these old school RPG type of games and are going to be excited for that. The Wandering Village. It is a city builder, but it's a city on the back of a creature. That's kind of interesting. A little twist on the usual formula. Lab Rat coming out on Xbox next year. It's kind of Portal, but more 2.5D than it is 3D. So those of you that get motion sick with your 3D games, should be a little easier to digest. And I love this because we were just fucking talking about this last week. RPG Time, The Legend of Wright. It's an RPG, but it's all inside a notebook, like a drawn type of thing. Like, the graphics look really good. But then I also think about that, Loki, what was that fucking, it was the David Jaffe game that was all hand-drawn and came out on PlayStation. It flopped hard. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was different, though. Like, that's
no, it was different. It was different. So I hope this game finds successes where Drawn to Death or whatever that was called did not.
I think that's what it's called. Maybe I'm thinking just Drawn to Life, and that's a whole different game. But
maybe.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Inked, A Tale of Love, a very artistic type of game, coming out on August 27th. You travel the world on paper with your partner, but then you kind of work with loss and things like that, and there's a puzzle-filled quest to gain things back. Interesting. Sounds like it. Sounds very artsy, very plot-driven. I'm into it. The Big Con is another game coming out. A runaway teen who cons their way across America in the 90s, and it has a, like, the art style.
It looks like looks a 90s.
It looks like an episode of Doug. Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. Looks cool. I like that. The Veil, Shadow of the Crown, an audio-only game. You play as a blind adventurer who has been made warden of a small castle on the outskirts of the kingdom, August 19th. Interesting. This could be very interesting. I want to check this out. Space Lines from the Far Out just got a demo released, and that was the last thing that they announced. So lots of good stuff. This is a great week for indies because the news was a little bit slower with the AAA stuff, but nothing... Nothing short on the indie front, that's for sure. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next story, Loki.
Yeah, so this is kind of a follow-up to the whole ROM universe thing where I think they had sued them not that long ago. And so now they're being ordered to destroy any of the ROMs that they have, I guess, on their site. And, permanently destroy all unauthorized Nintendo games and otherwise unauthorized copies of Nintendo intellectual property, including movies, books, and music. And they have until the 17th to do that. So, I guess it makes sense. I mean, since they were selling access to the site to actually... gain access to these ROMs, which probably got them in more trouble than they would have if they were just offering up for free.
Yeah, but... it also strikes me as the type of thing where they were really trying to find loopholes to continue to get away with it, and Nintendo is very much like, will you please shut it down, court? Please? So.
Yeah. So they won the lawsuit against ROM Universe in 2019, and it says that they were awarded $2.1 million in damages. It says, which would be paid by ROM Universe's owner, Matthew Storman, in $50 monthly payments. Yeah, they're never going to get that back. So, but apparently, even with such a low amount being paid to Nintendo, which, honestly, for stealing a bunch of their property, $50 a month doesn't sound that bad. I mean, that some of the combined price of all your streaming services might not even be that much. But apparently, he had failed to make his first $50 payment back in July. So, like,
Nintendo was on his ass, yeah. That's like that whole, you're going to make a $5 payment every month to settle the hospital bill, which shouldn't be a thing in this country, but I'm not going to go there tonight. But it sounds very similar to that whole type of thing, the payment arrangement type of thing. So anyway,
yeah.
Moving on. This is your weekly reminder. There are still many issues going on at Activision Blizzard King and the employees. It's namely that the employees have written a letter that has not really gone responded to by the higher ups at Activision Blizzard. So reminder that this issue is not over yet. And what has happened this week, though, is that there were more employees let go from the company. Three high-profile employees at Blizzard no longer there. When I talk about high-profile, I mean one of them is Jesse McCree. And do you know the character in Overwatch? Yeah, was named after this guy. So gone. And even what's interesting now, some of the, like, I was reading some stories on this. Some of the commentators for the Overwatch type of gameplays and stuff are now calling that character the cowboy. And just, and they weren't directed to, they just did it out of their own, we think this is a good idea type of thing. Like, just started calling the character a the cowboy as opposed to his name in the game, which I think is very interesting. Luis Barija, who was Diablo 4's game director, and Jesse McCree was the lead designer. And then World of Warcraft designer Jonathan LeCraft all let go from the company. No reason was given for the departure. We can guess. I mean, that's what people are doing because we have not been given reasons. It was noted in a statement that there are new leaders in place where appropriate, and everything will be moving forward to ensure a safe, productive work environment for all. Mike Deft in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I know Overwatch League. I didn't know if it was Overwatch League commentators or if it was like another like Overwatch thing on, because, you know, Overwatch League isn't the only organized group of Overwatch sports on YouTube or Twitch that has commentating going on behind us. I couldn't remember if it was specifically the Owl that was having that or what was happening there. So something of interesting note, two of these folks were in that infamous 2013 photo of the Cosby suite at BlizzCon, one of them front and center. Just again, we don't have an official reason why these folks were let go, but we're certainly reading the tea leaves, aren't we, internet? So yes. Anyway, so that happened. I mean, you know, assuming this, you know, and I have to make an assumption because, of course, they're not going to comment on the reasons. But assuming the timing and the lack of comment means it is tied to all this other investigation and stuff going on, then I say, bye bye. Don't let the door hit you. Yep. Cleaning house, says DJ Ramaz. Yep. Yep. Questbuster points out that McCree's name was also a part of the chat log that was screenshotted about the Cosby suite. I'm going to give that 5 yikes out of 5. All right. All right. Let's go back to a simpler time in gaming with our next segment, which is brought to us in a prior recorded segment earlier today from the one and only Dark Sakura, who is not with us here tonight because, again, if you're just getting here, she is out sick. So her voice, she didn't think would hold out for a couple of hours tonight during the show, but she did put together this about 10-minute segment for you guys, and I'm sure you all know what time it is.
The classic game of the week is Baldur's Gate, which came out for Microsoft Windows and Mac OS on December 21st, 1998 for PC and July 31st, 2000 for Mac OS. It is a fantasy role-playing game that was developed by BioWare and published by Interplay Entertainment, and it is the first in the Baldur's Gate series. It takes place in Forgotten Realms, which is one of the advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition sets. They're actually using modified versions of the rules from the rulebook for that game. And it was also the first game to use the Infinity Engine for its graphics. And then Interplay has used that for other Forgotten Realms licensed games, including the Icewind Dale and some of the other games like Planescape Torment. At any rate, you make your own protagonist, and you have to go across the Sword Coast with a party of companions to see why this iron crisis is affecting the area, and then you have to see who's behind it and look for dark secrets and stuff like that. So as far as how it plays, how it looks, you start with a top-down isometric third-person perspective, and you go through pre-rendered locations, you have quests, you recruit your companions, and it's very much like, you know, playing tabletop D&D. You do have, of course, you know, the advantage of keyboard shortcuts and whatnot, using your mouse, all of the etc's. And like I said before, it uses the a modified version of the 2nd edition Dungeons & Dragons rules. including like looking at your statistics, your dice rolling, and you do play, of course, in real time, but some of the elements in the rule sets were modified to feature like a pause real time mode where you could just sort of stop the play right there. You can, when you start a new playthrough, you can actually bring in your old character or create a new one. You have different like points in combat. You have to determine your name, gender, race, class, alignment, your ability scores, weapon proficiencies, things like that. Just like we knew when you're starting a original AD&D game for second edition. You can do multi-classes. But it does still follows those rules. Like, for example, if you're a fighter and a cleric, you can only use the cleric's weapons. It's kind of like that. So it's an 8-part game. You have a prologue and 7 chapters, and you have to do different tasks to complete it. You get experience points. You level up. It is like playing tabletop D&D just as a video game. The inventory in there is what's referred to as sort of like a paper doll mechanic, that you equip items depending on what type they are: weapons, ammo, armor, helmet, necklace, rings, belt, cloak, feet, and usable items. And so it does affect your weight limit, which affects your strength score, which affects your rolls. I mean, it is very, very second edition D&D. You can converse with NPCs, non-playable characters, and you actually have meters with them that give you those various options. Other features that will affect the gameplay is customizing your player character after creation, changing your primary and minor colors for the character, switching on and off the game AI. Different locations will have like different dynamics based on what you do, like fog, or you actually casting fog of war will do something. You know, you have different things like that. You have like in-game changes that can you can keep up with, like character fatigue. Like if you spend like a whole day traveling, then your fatigue is going to affect you, or else you have to rest. So in other you know, other things like that, like I said, it's set in the Forgotten Realms settings in 1368 DR in the midst of an iron shortage. And, you know, it brings in some many things from the Forgotten Realms playbooks, such as the Zentarim, the Red Wizards of Thay, the Iron Throne, the Flaming Fist, the Chill, the Black Talons, and the Harpers. And you can have about 25 players who can join your PC, and there's some who are official Forgotten Realms canon, including Dritz Dorden and Elminster. And if you don't know who they are, then you are not old school D&D. So at any rate, it began development in 1995 by BioWare in Canada. It was just called Forgotten Realms, and it was going to be just based in general on Forgotten Realms. And then they just kept working on it. And with this one, what was new about it is that instead of building the game from tiles like previous ones have, the characters are individually rendered. And so it took a lot of time to develop the game for the technology at that time. And it was the 60 people team had basically never participated in any kind of video game release. And so they just kept the design simple so that they could keep their ship date in mind. As far as the sales go, Baldur's Gate did have very low sales. In Britain, at least, they said that they projected zero sales. As far as the retail shippers, as of December 21st, it began to sell at, quote, a phenomenal rate. The first run of 50,000 copies sold out immediately, and they had Interplay working hard on getting more copies published. In the U.S., it remained in PC Data's weekly top three from January 10th to February 6th, and claimed number one for January with sales of 80,500 copies and revenues of $3.6 million in the U.S. alone. There were shortages of the game. It was in very, very high demand, and it maintained its unbroken streak in the top 10 through May 27th for that magazine. It popped off the list for a little bit, and then it came right back. And then, of course, there was the Tales of the Sword Coast expansion. It put it right back up on the list. So, with the game having continuously sold well into, like, 2003 and later, it's one of those games that even if you haven't played it, you probably know about it. Some of the gameplay in it was compared to the first Diablo, but of course it had a more extensive selection of different options, different features. But they didn't care for the pixel-based characters, but they loved the rendered backgrounds, and they said that it was beautiful. It was named the best computer role-playing game of 1998 by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, the Academy of Adventure Gaming Arts and Design, and several other magazines, plenty of them. And Computer Games, RPG Vault, a few others basically presented it their Game of the Year awards. As far as its legacy is concerned, it really revived the RPG genre, as in like the Western style, and it basically brought, to quote John Harris of Gamma Sutra, it rescued computer D&D from the wastebasket. It was the first, like I said, in the Baldur's Gate series. It had an expansion called Tales of the Sword Coast in 1999, and then Baldur's Gate 2 Shadow of Amn in 2000, its expansion Throne of Baal in 2001. And then, of course, there were other games by BioWare and Black Isle Studios, Planescape Torment, Icewind Dale, Icewind Dale 2. There was a Baldur's Gate novel that Philip Athens wrote in 1999 based on the game. It was re-released as a Baldur's Gate double pack with expansions and whatnot. And then there were multi-game expansions later on. It was released on GOG in 2010. So it's available via GameStop app as part of the D&D Anthology, the Master Collection, which has pretty much a bunch of the Icewind Dale Planescapes, the Temple of Elemental Evil, which I've actually played that as a desktop game. Then in 2012, there's a remake, Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, that was supposed to be out summer 2012. And then they also said that was going to be released for iPad. And then it kept getting delayed, and then finally it was launched for Windows November 28th, 2012. iPads running iOS 6 or greater on December 7th, 2012, and Mac OS X, February 22nd, 2013. Android, April 17th, 2014. And apparently Baldur's Gate 3 is in development by Larian Studios. And then Skybound Games brought the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on October 15th, 2019. So we're still seeing fairly recent releases of Baldur's Gate. It's really one of those, I would say, iconic PC games. You know, like I said, if you haven't played it, you should still at least have known about it. And so that's the classic game, now that I'm starting to sound like Frog. So again, check it out. You've got options, recent options that will allow you to play that game. And if you have good memories of it or want more questions about it, feel free to email us at participate@orangeloungeradio.com so that I can read your email and we'll talk about it. In the interim, stay classic.
All right. There it is, the classic game of the week. Thank you, Dark Soccer, for that segment. Baldur's Gate, is the game of the week. She's not here live in studio for us to really talk about it further, but I'll have to bug her about it next week. That is really an all-time computing classic. And yeah, it's still getting all sorts of recent releases there. She kind of called out at the end there. So very nice. All right. Let's get back into some more news. We're going to do some rapid fire news, in fact. So Loki, why don't you take us around some other headlines pretty quick?
Yes. So Idris Elba has teased that he is going to be voicing the character Knuckles in the brand new Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So that'll be coming soon. Honestly, like he tweeted out like a picture of Knuckles' hand and saying, you know, knock knock, which someone said is from Sonic Adventures. I thought it was a reference to Kung Fury because they make a joke, you know, knock knock, who's there? Knuckles. And you know, I thought that was a reference there, but apparently no, I was reading too far into that, but that's pretty cool. So we'll see that come out next year. And then also, apparently there was an exploit that Valve has now patched that allowed you to get infinite Steam wallet money. And apparently a security researcher on HackerOne recently submitted an exploit that could be used on Steam to gain unlimited funds. It has since been patched, and they have rewarded the person who found this with $7,500. Tells me they probably have gotten a lot more Steam wallet money than the $7,500. But yes, so that was thanks to Dr. Bricks. Curious to see how that worked out. But it's something that had to do with like different payment systems and email addresses. Yeah, using the smart to pay payment method. So neat.
All right. We are looking at Arcade Archives, which is a very robust release of classic arcade games on the Switch. It's basically MAME, but legal, right? You know, and they have a lot of nice options so you can kind of emulate the game in different ways. And they've got, I think they celebrated over 100 games in that series not that long ago. And now we know the next one coming out. And it just came out this past week, actually. It's Curry Kintan. Is out this week, which is a martial art game that came out from Taito in 1988. Is available now on Switch and PS4 for $8. So enjoy that. Also, I thought this was funny because this was observed by our own Dark Tetsuya, who sometimes feeds us stories to talk about on the show. And I thought this was worth bringing up, is that there is a comprehensive list out there on Twitter that was put together by this user, PartyTimeHXLNT, who actually put
together...
Oh, I get it. Party time. Excellent. I get that. Okay, guys, got it. Who put together a list of new homebrew games for classic consoles, and it's a list that's available on itch.io, so you can actually see, oh, here's a bunch of itch.io games that are like made for old console hardware, like a Sega Master System or an NES. And guess what? Pixel Poops number 2 made the list. Good for you, Loki.
Yay.
You're getting recognized. You're getting some recognition out there. Love that. All right. And yes, that was news I felt like reporting on. What can I say? It was a slow week. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. This is where people are going to scream conflict of interest, ethics. Look.
We have none of those.
Look, yeah, first off, we have none of
the
those.
The ethics.
Second off, you know what? Loki worked very hard on that game. If we're going to cheap shill it, we're going to keep shilling it until more you buy it. That's just the way it's going to be. All right. Let's get into some release dates. Let's check out some games that aren't Pixel Poops. I don't know why you'd play them, but they're out on other systems this week. Loki.
Yeah, we've got Road 96 out on PC and Nintendo Switch. Humankind on PC, Mac, and Stadia. 12 Minutes, which is that time loop game that's going to be coming out on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
I want to play that.
Recompile on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X. Rims Racing on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Yoni on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. And we've got Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. And last but not least, Madden NFL 22 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. It's just the game from a couple of years ago, so I don't know why you bother, but it's out this week.
Again.
Roster update 22.
All right. Going over to Japan and checking out the releases over there. On the Nintendo Switch this week, we have Amnesia World for Nintendo Switch. I tell you more about this game, but I forgot. We also have coming out on the Nintendo Switch. Okay, it's a bad joke. Dad joke. The protagonist wakes up and discovers that they lost all their memory and they have no idea who they are, what was going on. And so they obviously have to go piece all that together. It looks a little bit like one of those like manga turned into a video game. In fact, it probably is exactly what it is. But that is out on the Switch this week. We also have Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis Cloud. That's kind of neat because that's one of those Switch releases in Japan where it runs off the cloud. We only got like Control did that here, right? Did we get like a Switch Control release that was cloud based or something? Yeah. So we don't see a lot of those here, but there's more of them in Japan. And so Phantasy Star Online 2 is one of them there. You won't see that here, I'm sure, because I think Microsoft has some type of deal on the Phantasy Star Online 2 front. So something to keep in mind. However, going over to the PlayStation 5, you can get Yuoni this week is out in Japan on the 19th. I'm trying to see what this game is all about. It looks like a scary game. Test your courage in a dangerous game of hide and seek before initiating a terrifyingly twisted version of tag with abominations not of this world. So it's Dead by Daylight. Okay, it's not Dead by Daylight, but it has the same type of like hide and seek or die type of plot going on with this game. We like scary games. That might be fun. All right, there's your releases in Japan. Are you able to do UK for me, Loki?
Yep.
Cool.
So in the UK, we've got, looks like Greek Memoirs of Azure on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. We have Humankind on PC. Rims Racing looks like coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. 7 Days to Die on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. Madden NFL 22 on all of the platforms. And that's it.
All right. We're going to do a few more stories, and then we'll open it up for the roundtable and see if you guys want to call in. We'll do calls tonight if you want. Head on over to the green room if that sounds like something you want to do. We can also talk about what other topics you might want to bring up in chat. And I will also check the mailbag, although I think it was empty last I looked. But I'll look. Participate at orangelaundry.com is the place to send an email. Let's do some more news, though, Loki.
Yeah, so a group of senators have actually sent out some letters to big names in the game publishing industry in the U.S. to try to get them to voluntarily adopt rules that are going to be implemented in the U.K. soon, designed to protect children from exploitative practices in video games regarding loot boxes. So I think this is the issue where they have like kind of the odds and stuff like that. So apparently... this has gone out to Epic, Activision, Disney, and Microsoft asking that they extend the UK's new age-appropriate design code, the AADC regulation, to American children in order to protect them from loot box gambling and microtransactions. They won't. And although they... I don't think anything's going to come... They're not going to do it until you force them to do it. So, yeah. That ain't gonna happen. It says the new law, the regulation sets standards across 15 categories that focuses on high privacy by default, not sharing children's data, and keeping geolocation off by default as well. I don't see them implementing this in the U.S. because basically they make a ton of money off of people.
Well, I see some elements of it, you know, and this is the whole reason why we were kind of warning the gaming industry a long time ago about if you don't come up with a way to self-regulate yourself, the government's going to step in and do it for you, and you're not going to like what they come up with. Because and the subtext there is the government's not going to get it. They're not going to understand. They're going to show that they're out of touch. And the fact that, you know, you don't really have a lot of, you know, you don't have a good mix of generations in public, you know what I mean? how many Zoomers and millennials are in public office all the way in Washington. There's a handful of millennials, but not enough. There's too many people that don't understand this industry making these. That's why when the Supreme Court ruled on Schwarzenegger and the ESA or whatever that was years ago, I was shocked that they actually were calling out things like Mortal Kombat and stuff in the decisions, although I'm sure their legal staff filled them in on that. But it just goes to show that, like, people more in touch with games are a little clued into, like, what's going to work and what's not going to work. And, you know, it just seems like there's stuff in this that is very out of touch. And I hope they fix it up.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, like, with the it's nice to think of the children and stuff, and as far as exploiting them with loot boxes, but at the same time, like, children don't really have money. It's the parents that do. And assuming that, you know, I know there's some cases where children have, like, access to, like, the parents put their card in to the system and, like, save my information to make it easier to make payments later. And the kid can rack up, you know, stuff like that. But I don't think that those are necessarily as common as you might think. I think, if anything, it's more folks that have kind of the gambling compulsion and whatnot that feel basically are encouraged to buy. And those folks are adults. And at the same time, though, I think that we should just be removing the whole, you know, kind of gambling aspect out of these games when it comes to loot boxes anyways. More so for the adults who might be susceptible to that, because that's where a lot of this money is coming from. I don't think kids are necessarily buying a ton of stuff. Now, that said, though, like, my son, for example, got about $150 worth of Roblox Robux, and it, like, dumped that immediately, like, just spent it all. So, like, I get it that, like, you know, kids aren't the best in, like, being able to manage money. But they're only managing the money that you give them, assuming that you're not an idiot that puts your payment information, saves it to, you know, your console, and, you know, assuming that it's not like a child stealing a credit card or something like that to pay for stuff, which I'm sure there's situations where that happens, but, like, I think for the most part it doesn't like that. I just still think it's a bad idea all around. And so, you know, sure, let's focus on making rules for children to protect them, but, like, I don't think that they really need a lot of protecting when it comes to this kind of stuff. I think it's more of, like, maybe curbing habits for, like, in the future.
I think the transparency on the odds and, like, what is actually in the loot boxes and all that, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that for sure. I think there is a lot of predatory behavior from the game companies on this. But when they start to kind of I felt like, especially from some of the interpretations of this, they were kind of, like, sneaking these other things in there about, like, video games are too violent. It was, like, somewhere in there, and it was like, well, that's not the discussion.
Yeah.
What about movies are too violent? What about books are too violent? What about art is too violent? What about, you know, you go see those, you know, classic pieces from ancient Greece of the person carrying around the decapitated head? That's kind of violent if you think about it. Like, art sometimes reflects violence, and I'm just sick of the gaming industry continuously getting shit on for it.
And it's just the gaming industry right now. Like, it'll be like, if VR takes off, like, it's, you know, someday or whatever, they'll blame that. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, it's so immersive. There's killing simulators out there, and, like, it'll get ridiculous, I'm sure. Just mark my words, 10 years, that'll definitely happen. But, like, it's just, they blame anybody because they don't, look at how many mass shootings do we have? And they always blame everything other than gun regulation. Oh, let's blame media. Let's blame, you know, they saw people getting angry in the streets, so, you know, they took up guns. Like, they will blame anybody because, why? The gun lobbies, you know, pay them to have that kind of opinion. All they care about is money. And that's all these companies care about is money, so they're going to do everything they can to ensure that they're getting tons of loot boxes. If that means, like, taking loot boxes out of, you know, certain types of games that may appeal more to children, then sure. But, like, I think for, like, you know, FIFA Ultimate Team and stuff like that, like, they're making a ton of money. And I don't know who's buying those. I mean, some people are probably buying them just to play the game, but, like, I feel that some people might have a compulsion to buy them as well. Mm-hmm. Like, whether they're just, like, so, you know, competitive that they feel that they need to do this to stay competitive, and just might kind of justify it to themselves as, well, this is what I have to do to be competitive in this game. Like, I don't know.
Like Pokemon Unite? No, you're talking about the generational gap and all that stuff. And you, since you brought up VR, it just made me think of this thing where it's like, you know, sometimes I will still see things on the news or reports and things like that that will bring up VR and talk about VR and then show footage of the lawnmower man. That is exactly how you can tell that the person that is, you know, reporting on this doesn't fucking know a thing about VR, because they still associate it with a not even good movie from the 90s, because that was pop culture's first kind of VR thing in the mainstream. So seriously, yeah, look for it. Look for it. Look for one of these news channels, your local news, talking about VR, and then they'll show a clip from the lawnmower man. And that is how you instantly know the person who put this together doesn't know dick about VR. Or tits, whatever. They don't know anything about anything when it comes to VR.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Am I wrong though?
Maybe they're just trolling.
It's their system with archive footage, and they go into VR footage archive, and there's always like number one result, lawnmower man. It's like an internal Google thing they all use to find the stock footage.
Yeah. I hope someday they cover lawn mowing and actually show the lawnmower man for that, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. That'd be hilarious.
Questbuster in chat says, it reminds me of when someone from Britain exercising their right to request their personal information from a company like EA was shocked to learn how much they spent on FIFA Ultimate Team. They spent a little here and there, but the records showed just how much in total they spent, and it floored them. Oh, if I ever had my records pulled on like how much money I'd given Niantic, I'll cry. I will full on man cry, like, just because I'm sure it's in the four digits at this point. It's got to be between Pokemon Go and Ingress. Across how long have I been playing Ingress? Too fucking long, like at least 5 years, if not more. I'm sure I've spent now in the four number of digits. No, fuck, Pokemon Go just turned 5, so Ingress I've probably been playing for like 7 or 8. Jesus. Ugh. Anyway, yeah, and here's another fun game you can play. If you're an MMO player, here's a dare. I'm going to double dog dare you to do something, okay? So Fifth Dream in chat says, if I knew how much I spent on Final Fantasy 14, yikes. All right, here we go. Fifth Dream, I'm going to double dog dare you. Log into Final Fantasy 14, and I want you to type /played. It might be /playtime in that game, but try both until it works. And it's actually going to show you how many hours of your life you've spent playing that game. Fifth Dream says, oh, I did that before. I think we've all probably done it once and then had a moment where we were like, oh, fuck. Like, oh, my God, really? Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says EQ had /played. It even converted it to days. Oh, so does WoW will do this too. Final Fantasy 14 does it, and it'll convert it to days in both as well. So Dark Tetsuya says, does that work on PlayStation 4? Yes. You just have to either type it in like you're going to type a chat message or use your keyboard attachment. But you're literally playing the exact same thing. Because you can even have a keyboard interface on the PlayStation 4 if you hook up a keyboard and mouse like I did once. So, all right. No One Special in chat says, with all the money I spent on Steam and GOG, I could have bought a brand new car. Yep. Yep. Very that. Where was the comment on Lawnmower Man? Because it was funny. I wanted to read it. Let's see. Oh, SG100 Matt says, Lawnmower Man is probably free to use, and they've kept the stock video they've kept around since the 1990s. Yep. Hey, She-Hulk 10, I appreciate the positive outlook. She-Hulk 10 is here with the positive outlook on the /played that says, it shows you that you got your money's worth. That's a much better outlook than, look how much of your life you've wasted playing this bullshit. You did. You got your money's worth. All right. Moving on, let's talk about Castlevania, and a Castlevania game that is coming to Apple Arcade, but don't get too excited. It's not exactly what you think. But, I mean, it looks pretty, and it's a Castlevania game that's coming out for Apple Arcade, but it's Grimoire of Souls. It'll be out on iOS, tvOS, and Mac, you know, same places that something like Fantasian is out. This game was originally announced by Konami in 2018, and then it soft launched on iOS, and then they removed it from the App Store last year, probably because they had this deal going in place instead. So this is going to come out. And yeah, they're going to have some classic designs from Castlevania veterans and a lot of familiar playable characters as well. You fight your way through Dracula's armies, and then there's a co-op and bounty hunt mode. And I probably won't play it. Let's be real. It's just, it's not Symphony of the Night or anything like it. It's not even close to being one of the DS games or anything like that. So, that's true. SG100 Matt says Jamie will probably get it. And yeah, I mean, to be fair, she's talked about, she plays Fantasia. She has Apple Arcade. She probably will. It's like Xbox Game Pass. There's some things I will only play because, oh, hey, it's on Game Pass. Why not? I'm not at that point where I have Apple Arcade yet. I will probably get it eventually, but I just haven't got it yet. So, all right. Let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys. Loki.
So No Man's Sky is celebrating their 5th anniversary, and along with a cool kind of look back trailer kind of cataloging all the different updates that they've done to the game, they also announced that they're going to be releasing yet another free update, which is apparently is the 17th update called Frontiers. And it is coming out at some point soon. And they said that it's basically going to add a missing piece of the sci-fi fantasy that we always wanted to add. And it's very fitting for our 5th anniversary. So no word exactly on what it's going to be. But, I mean, they've been supporting this game like crazy. So definitely go check it out if you haven't yet.
I'm excited. I wish they would date the expansion because that also means they haven't done an expedition since that Mass Effect one. And I thought it would be like Diablo Seasons where there was always kind of one going on with maybe a couple week break. We haven't had an expedition in months. So, which it's fine. It's not, look, that game has given us a lot. I'm not upset about it, but, I'm very excited to see the next expansion. Yes. God, another game that just turned 5, right? So yeah, that's awesome. You know, I love me some No Man's Sky. I'll be streaming it. If there's another expedition, I'll absolutely stream it. Be checking out whatever this expansion is. I wonder what it could be. It sounds like it's almost like another base building type of thing, but it could really be anything. But at some point you would think they're going to have to stop and start making a new game. I mean, they probably are already working on a new game, but you would think they would want those resources. I don't know. Anyway. All right.
I don't know.
Something much older than 5 years old, but is just now going to be hitting the indie retro throwback craze is the Amiga 500 Mini. I say indie because there's smaller companies that are doing these things. It is going to be very similar to the C64 Mini because it's the same company doing it, Retro Games. It is a reimagining of the Commodore Amiga. It will have the emulation of the original A500 chipset and the AGA, that's the Advanced Graphics Architecture, of the A1200, the later Amiga. The A500 Mini will come with a mouse and a gamepad, and you can also plug in a standard keyboard over USB. So it will not be like that. So there was the C64 Mini that was very similar, and then they actually put out the C64 that was full size. This Amiga thing isn't full size, but damn, that mouse looks legit. Like, that is exactly what the Amiga mice look like. So 25 games included, including Pinball Dreams, which I think is the must-have Amiga title in there. But there's some other. There's actually some really good shit in here. ATR All-Terrain Racing, Battle Chess, Simon the Sorcerer, Worms the Director's Cut, Zool, Ninja of the Nth Dimension. Rad. So that, and that's just a little bit of the list. So that's pretty cool. Of course, you have save, resume functionality, 50 hertz and 60 hertz screen refresh options, CRT filter, blah, blah, blah. What's it going to cost? $139 in U.S. money, or 129 euros if you want to go that way. So, yeah, that's awesome. Due out in early 2022, so it doesn't look like it's going to make the holiday. And I imagine all the computer part shortages probably play into that a little bit. So,
probably.
Yeah. She-Hulk says, yeah, Commodore, it ruled the 80s. It sure did. That was where I started gaming. I mean, I guess technically I played an Atari 2600 before the Commodore, but I put way more hours in Commodore 64 than I did anything else between the ages of around 5 and probably 10, to be honest. So Dark Tissue in chat says, I figured Rob would appreciate this being the Commodore computer fan. Hell yeah. We never had an Amiga. but I certainly respect and know the system, that's for sure. And I was always jealous of my friends that had them, but they were really expensive computers. I don't know if you, the Amiga was really expensive at its time. So there's that whole problem. All right, let's get to our listener roundtable. If you would like to give us a call, or you could join our green room on Discord. Also, if you would like to send us in a chat question, you can do that as well. And we'll get some of those. And then I would go to the mailbag, but we don't have any emails tonight. So participate at orangelaunchradio.com if you'd like to send us an email for a future week. Questbuster wants to point out on the No Man's Sky thing, Hello Games is working on a new big project, but they haven't said what it is, only that it's going to be as ambitious as No Man's Sky. You know, it's hard to hear that and not think they're making another space game, because what is more vast than space? Really nothing. But I'm curious to see maybe what they might put their random procedural generator thing that powered a game like No Man's Sky, what they might put that on. Could they make an RPG out of that?
Maybe.
Or what it is they're going to do. Could they do a game about exploring the oceans? There's so much unknown when it comes to that. I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot of question mark there. It could be literally anything until No Man's Sky, until Hello Games, the makers of No Man's Sky, say something about it. That's for sure. Dark Tatsuya in chat, did anyone get to check out the Windjammers 2 beta? I'm kind of hooked, and I even got my wife into it. A big no for me, sadly. No, I didn't. But to be fair, I didn't play any betas, just Hades. So I didn't play Diablo either this weekend. Did you play Windjammers 2 yet, Loki?
No, I have not.
Well, hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. I didn't talk earlier in the show about Pokemon Go, but the community day happened this weekend, and I gotta say, for as many hours as they gave it, between the heat wave here and Hades and my general, like, do I really need to get more EVs? I didn't really play a lot. I caught a bunch of stuff on the house, and I ended up getting a 3-star EV because I got one as like I got one that showed up. So maybe it hatched. I don't remember. But anyway, I got one and I was happy enough with that. I've been sitting on some shinies too. So I made a new Glaceon and a new Sylveon. I still need to make a Leafeon before the time's up, because I guess you can still do that until Monday morning. Mike Def says 29 between the 2 days. Holy crap, that's a lot. I didn't ask Shane how many he got, but I'm just assuming he didn't care about it as much because it was EV recycle. Oh, Shane's in chat. How about that? I'm two physical. Shane, how many shinies did you get in EV weekend, or did you care? You were out doing errands. Shane in chat also says, I'm two physical copies away from having all the Hades versions. I'll probably finish that off within the next month or two. And y'all tease me about Mass Effect 3. But there's always those games. There's always those games that are just going to do it for you. Yeah, Carlos points out in chat, thank you, 1 p.m. Eastern, so 10 a.m. for me to make my shiny Leafeon, which I have plenty of EVs to do that with. So, Jesus. Shane in chat says, I opened my game today during a run to Walmart and got 11?
11 shinies?
I maybe got 4, but I really didn't play a lot. 4 on my house is still kind of a lot. I don't know. Let's see. Carlos in chat says, my Pogo group didn't care, but only went out for hundo notifications. Oh, that's clever. Yeah, I know a lot of people were very meh on the fact it was a repeat weekend anyway. And then you add on top of that just the fact that Pokemon Go kind of pissed off its player fan base within the past month. There's a lot of people that are like, I'm not buying that 99-cent ticket, even though I kind of think what they were offering as far as like the rewards and stuff were probably better than they have in a while. The fact that you can get one free Eeveelution that's guaranteed to at least be a 2-star that has the special move with it. You just get it from doing that quest. And then they also had what, like incubators and maybe an egg? Like, it's probably one of the better deals for the 99-cent quest they've done. But there's a lot of people that are just like, keep it, because they're mad and they're sticking to their guns. But that's what you have to do. If you're really upset about it, you got to vote with your wallet. And so it'll be interesting to see how many people did that on a big scale, because Pokemon Go is an international game. So we'll have to see how that goes. Oh, Mike Def says I had the Go Plus running. Gotcha. SG100 Matt says I work Saturday and Sunday, so maybe I got 15 since I had to play at home for some of it. Didn't get a damn shiny Heracross. Been trying. Yeah, I wanted a shiny Heracross too. I did a lot of those. I didn't get a shiny unknown. I did like 15 unknown raids probably. I did a lot and still didn't get a shiny one of those. So I'm pissed, but it is what it is. All right. I don't see anyone in the green room. Any other, just last call for questions or chat topics, and then we will move on. Shane in chat says, I didn't get the ticket. I will for Oshawa Day, whatever that is, but I think that's the end of Go for me at that point. I'm also curious. We know there's a Pokemon announcement thing coming on, what, the 18th? Is that Wednesday, Thursday? It's coming up pretty soon. And we're supposed to get not just the Gen 4 remake details, which I know, Shane, you in particular are lukewarm on, but Pokemon Arceus is supposed to be the Legends, whatever, that is supposed to get more information as well. And I imagine you're a lot more interested in that one. So, yeah, Wednesday, so hyped. Yeah. Carlos says, I said keep it to the 99 cent Eevee quest because there was no incentive to do it when we have enough of these. They brought back the same moves, so we had no motivation. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm going to be very curious what they announce with the Pokemon thing, too. I'm curious about a Gen 4 remake. I'll play it, especially if it ends up tying into Pokemon Bank and all that. Like, I want to finish my decks and Bank and all that good stuff, which, you know, I'm a little behind when it comes to that stuff. So, and if I guess also it's one of those things where, like, Platinum was better than Diamond and Pearl. So maybe if some of those quality of life things are in it, it might not be so bad. But we'll see. SG100 Matt also points out we get the catch-up days in December to redo some of the shiny catches of the year. Yes, that is very true. Very, very true. All right. Let's get into any last-minute stories. Loki, I don't know if you have any of those. I think we might have burned through them all.
Yeah, so apparently there's... So we found out that the next Call of Duty is going to be Call of Duty Vanguard, which was I mean, they've been teasing, you know, kind of some stuff for that with the Call of Duty seasons that they have right now. But the cover art has leaked out for the game as well. So it looks like it's going to be set in World War II. Some think it's going to be an alternate World War II. And they had like some kind of looks like maybe pre-order bonus stuff as well. So, you know, showing off some of the different operator skins. And
I'm going to step AFK real quick. Sorry.
Yeah. And open beta, early access and stuff like that. And, you know, the frontline weapons pack, double XP, or I should say it looks like 4x XP or something like that. Cool, I guess. The alternate World War II thing's been kind of done to death. Now, if it was like a Call of Duty game set in alternate World War II that was also in the universe of like Command & Conquer Red Alert, that would be cool. You know, with the Tesla coils and stuff like that, yeah. I'd be down with that, and then you'll get some Tesla tanks in there and stuff, and all the crazy stuff, Iron Curtains. That's the kind of game I want to see, but sadly, this is probably just going to be another generic Call of Duty game. So,
I'm back, sorry.
What you going to do?
Smoosh is losing his mind over there.
Yeah.
Some comments from chat on the Pokemon event on Wednesday. Shane says, it's not just Arceus and... Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Sounds like they'll be talking about other things too. And Carlos follows that up saying, yeah, I expect 15 minutes of the remakes, 10 minutes of Arceus with 5 minutes of the other games. Maybe a Unite update, like what Pokemon are coming to Unite? The mobile launch, maybe? I could see that. And maybe an unannounced Pokemon game would be great, but I'm not going to set my expectations there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll unveil how they're fixing Pokemon Go. Haha, just kidding. All right.
They're not.
All right. If that's it for Last Minute Stories, then I think we will go ahead and collect some final thoughts. Thank you guys very much for listening to our show this week, whether you were here live on Twitch or if you were downloading on our podcast feed. If you enjoyed what you heard, please help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need voices here to put out on air. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help spread the word. Also an auto host here at Twitch for VOG Network goes a very long way, and we appreciate all of you guys that do that. If you would are so inclined, you can support us via our shop if you want to get some OLR merchandise, vognetwork.com/shop if you want to check that out. My shirts finally shipped. They took a little bit to print, but I'm finally getting my new shirts for Dragon Con. So I'm glad I thought to get that in advance, because it sounds like it's going to be another, you know, week before I get those. So, yeah, very exciting. All right, let's get everybody's final thoughts. Loki, how about your final thought?
Final thought is I'm still working hard on my Minecraft series. So I've got a lot of new things I want to try to implement into it. So it's only going to make it more complicated, but cool.
All right. And my final thought is, what in the heck is this cat doing? He's losing his mind. Cats, what can you do? What can you do? All right.
Speaking of, yeah, my cat's down here screaming at me and staring at me. So yeah.
We still love them, even when they're crazy. All right. That's going to do it for another OLR. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. I know it was a little bit of a shorter show, but just lighter on the news and no Jamie. So it just made things shorter. But I hope you guys have a good week. We'll be back next week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.